pasuk in Mishlei Perek Gimel goes in a sequence that's min hakal el hakoved. In other words, the person that we're talking about is getting meaner and meaner. He's getting more difficult. So at the beginning it says, the psukim that we learned just a while ago, that a person, if he has the ability to do a taiva, to do a mitzvah, he should do it. And don't hold back. And not do it at all. Then it says, and furthermore, if you have the opportunity to do it, you should do it right away. But now it goes and it makes the person meaner. What do I mean? Al tachresh al reyach ha-ro'a v'hu yoyshev levetach itach. Don't scheme. Tachresh, the word cheresh might be from the same word, and cheresh means silent. Right? Meraglim cheresh lemor. So al tachresh, don't scheme in your mind without saying, without uttering a word. Al tachresh al reyachara, don't scheme an evil, some evil intent. V'hu yoshev lovetach itach, and he doesn't have any suspicions about you, is fully confident that you're in his best interests. Zokt Rashi, al tachresh al reyachara, al tachshev. Ve'enoi zoz mimashmoz charisha. Ma derech ha-choyresh mechin mokoim lizman hazriya. Af ha-choyshev ro'a mechin mokoim tachbulois beliboy eich yamid v'yasena. Rashi wants to know whether the word tacharesh is the same as loisachresh b'shor v'chamor yachdov. Choyresh in the sense of plowing a field. So he says that plowing is a preparation, a plan. The notion here is, just like a person plows a field because he intends subsequently to plant, in the same way this person is scheming a scheme with the intention of fulfilling something evil, something diabolical in the end. What Rashi's trying to say is, that al-tachresh does not mean don't have bad thoughts. That you should also not have. But here we're talking about a scheme, a plan. And the plan is done in such a subtle and unsuspecting manner that the other person is caught completely unawares. Very interesting. Take a look in the Radak. The Radak is on a posuk that all of you know.
Achmona Litzlan, it's called bracha because they don't want to let out the word klala. Vegen de Eibishta alein. Usfasecha midaber mirma, shaloi tadaber echad bepev echad balev. Mirma is treachery. A person speaking treachery is because he speaks nice things, but his plan inside his heart is the exact opposite. He's setting him up. Usfasecha midaber mirma. And the Elohim sifse mirma. Orboy is from the word ma'arav with an aleph, which means an ambush. He tries to ambush him. And he brings our pasuk also. So you see, there's a scheme, a plan that is very, very carefully wrought in such a manner that it wants bedafka to trip the other person up unawares. So he says lechatchila nice things and makes believe he's his best friend, all the while scheming and plotting to undermine him in the end. And he uses to his advantage the ambush. What's pshat ambush? You think he's going here and he ends up there. And you're caught completely unawares and your flank is exposed. So that is the idea of Nitzol Shoyin Chameira, Usfasecha Midaber Mirma. So he quotes a posuk in Yirmiyahu, right? So he quoted the last half of the pasuk. I bring you the whole pasuk, and I want to tell you the pshat of the Vilna Gaon. He says a beautiful pshat on this pasuk. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu perik tes pasuk zayin, chetz shachut lishonam, mirma diber befiv, shalom es yireyehu yidaber uvekilba yasim oboy. The language is like a chetz shachut. Chetz, what's a chetz?
An arrow.
So the Vilna Gaon says, what is the pshat in that? So the answer, says the Vilna Gaon, is that he is plotting and scheming. How does he do that? By being nice, and then using that niceness to undermine and to hurt the other person unawares, correct? He's treacherous. Says the Gaon, when you want to shoot an arrow, it's different than throwing a spear. I mean, in a sense. Why? Because the arrow has to gather the momentum of the bow. So how do you do that? The answer is, you pull the string in the opposite direction from where the arrow is headed. And the more you pull in the opposite direction, the more tension there is, and the more the force of the energy pushes the arrow further. So he says that's why the image of an arrow is used in treachery. Because the person thinks you're being very nice. That's like the bow going in the opposite direction, the pulling of the string. But the emes, what is the whole tachlis? That the arrow should go right into him, as hard as possible. So pulling back is the simon of the nice words, which turn out to be actually very dangerous and damaging in the end. So that's the image, says the Vilna Gaon, of using a bow and arrow. Chet shachut l'shoinon. Why? Because befiv, he says very nice things. But bekirba yosim arbay. But the whole thing is a big ambush. So that is, Rashi says, that the thing of al tachrish. Why do you use the word charisha? Because charisha is a scheme. Why is charisha a scheme? Because chayresh is al menas lizroya. Here, he's chayresh al menas laharoig al menas Lahazik, etc., etc. Amanas Lignoif, whatever it is. The Goyin, Al Tachrish Al Reacha Ro, who neged Hamishpot, Vahainu Liskoite Barishoyim, Mikomakoim Al Tachrish Belivovcha Ro Al Reacha, Vu Yoshev Lovetach, Kloima Meachashi Yoshev Lovetach Itoch. I want to be Masbir this Gro. Because it requires hesbir. The Gra learned that you cannot be speaking here about a person who's simply mean and vicious, and he's a Rasha himself for making up these schemes. Because it's inconsistent with the subtleties that you have in the psukim beforehand. Because in the psukim beforehand, it's talking about a person, do it now, don't hold back. A relatively edel mensch. All of a sudden, you're talking about a Rasha Marusha, a man who's scheming evil intentions and following through later by tripping the person up with his niceness and kindness, all the while trying to destroy him. So what's the hemshech? So says the Gra, we're talking about a person who's entitled to be that way, to hurt the other person in some manner or other, because we're dealing with mishpat. Nevertheless, he says, when you're going against the Rasha, you should not do it with smiles and schemes. Just do the mishpat the way you should. So I was thinking to myself, why not? The more I can entrap him, the more I can hurt him, the better off we are, all of us, if he's a Rasha. Imanashach, if there's an inyan of mishpat, why do I have to be so direct? Why can't I be subtle? Why can't I catch him off guard? I'll tell you what the answer is. The answer is, because the mahalach sometimes becomes a corruption. The mahalach becomes a corruption. You can do something that meets out justice and at the very same time become yourself a victim of your own good intentions gone awry, because the corruption is that I become a treacherous person. Remember, I always told you the Gemara in Yevam, Staf Samach, Samach Beis, the Gemara says that Rav had a son, Chia, and Chia was very sharp. And Rav reminded Chia later, oh, you're such a smart fellow, you're smarter than your father. What happened? Rav had a wife who made him miserable. And what we don't know in the Gemara why she was like that, but she used to switch his foods on him. which apparently was meant merely to show that she's not interested in his wishes and she's not interested in complying with his intentions. She's going to do her own thing and she's her own balabas and she's going to be mitzayer him that way. So she used to, if he asked for tlufchi, she used to give him beblach and so on and so forth. Whatever it was that he asked for, she gave the opposite. Chia realized that that's what's happening. So he switched the shlichus when his father would suggest that maybe today I'll eat beblach. We also don't understand. Rav is interested today eating beblach and the other day eating this. Rav is luchmamish. But whatever it was, the Gemara never really tells you all the details and we are left with a lot of questions. But be that as it may, it says that the shlichus was given to Chia, please ask mommy to make some beblach today. He knew that if he's going to ask beblach, he's going to end up with something else. So what did he do? He switched the lashon of Rav to begin with. So what did she hear? She heard chicken soup. Chicken soup, Ebazai, I'll make you beblach. So suddenly, Rav sees that the beblach he asked for are the beblach that he got. Pile ployin. And finally, this happened a few times. He was thrilled, and he says to Chia, Baruch Hashem, she finally got around to it. She's changed. So Chia said, I know who the afchas. I was the one who switched it. So he said, you're smarter than I am, because why didn't I ever think of that? But then he added, but don't ever do it again. And he quotes a pasuk. And the pasuk that he quotes is not the pasuk that we would have expected. We would have expected Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Now there are some shittos who hold that Midvar Sheker Tirchak only applies to a dayan. But you find that in the Gemara, remember the famous machlokes with Shammai and Basilo, Ketzad Meraktin Lifnei HaKala, where Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to say to every Kala, no matter what she looks like and what she's like, Kala no v'chasuda. It's Kala k'moshehi. If she has the Mila, fine. If she doesn't have the Mila, find some other Mila. But you can't say the same Nusach for everybody because it's not true. V'hatoira Amra Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Right? So what Pasuk? So you see from that even when you're not a Dayan, he's a Dayan, he's Ketzad Meraktin Lifnei HaKala, he's by a Simcha. What Loshen Ma'oimrim Lifnei HaZok Drashi? So he says, you can't say these things because Midvar Sheker Tirchak. So you see that they applied the Pasuk Midvar Sheker Tirchak even in mundane matters, even in regular things, not just when you're a judge and you're not supposed to be done B'Sheker. So why doesn't Rav tell Chia that Pasuk? The answer is because Rav, which Pasuk did Rav tell him? Limdu l'shoinam da b'sheker ha'ave nilu. Limdu l'shoinam, lomud means regular. There's a certain consistency. It means there's a pattern of sheker. It's over time repeated again and again. The pshat is like this. If you are telling a person an untruth, there are times that you're permitted to do this mishanin mipnei darkei shalom. There are times that you're mechuyev to tell an untruth. There are times like that. They're few and far between, but there are times that you're actually mechuyev not only not to tell the truth, but if necessary to tell an untruth. There's a lot of shalom bayis problems that come from people who are very honest. I really like that other shidduch much more, and I married you for your money. Honesty par excellence. You understand? So the pshat is that there is a nochanami opportunity. There are opportunities and occasions where you do have to tell something that's not true. And that, if you do it once in a yovel, it's not going to corrupt your personality. But when you do it on a regular basis for the best reasons in the world, but you become a chakra. And that is a corruption of the Midas HaEmes, which is the Yisoid Chaisomai Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yisoid and foundation of a person's integrity. And all of a sudden, when it's not even necessary and it's not even conscious, you can't say the truth the way it is. You have to always find some devious and some realigned interpretation of something. You say things that are not so just because that's the way you are. You became a sheker. That's limdu l'shoin. Midvar sheker could be even once if it's the wrong time. But there are times that you're allowed. Lo yitzuyer, he could have fixed the matzah by saying one time, klupchi, make these beans, and then everything would have been alright from then on. Rav would not have commented. But since he's doing it on a regular basis, so that becomes a corruption of limdu l'shoinam daber sheker. Same thing over here. The Goyin is saying that even when you have to do justice, when you do it with that deviousness of trapping the person, and I have to tell you something very interesting. I mean, I find it very interesting. I think you will also. There was a maisa, we're not going to go into any of the details. I'm not interested in the details right now. And b'chlal, you know, you never know where the Lashon Hara begins. But the fact of the matter is that people to save their own skin are invited and encouraged by the system of justice, by the attorney generals, v'chulu, v'chulu, to entrap their colleagues, their friends, and people who are responsible for certain avlus, maskim. But the mesira idea, people think there's some sort of a halacha that you're not supposed to maser another yid, especially in the algemeina system of justice. That's true. But it's much more than that. There's a vile corruption in giving over somebody. If they have the goods on the person, fine. If this person is causing tremendous damage or potential chil Hashem, and you can unravel the chil Hashem, prevent the chil Hashem from happening, fine. But the idea to save your skin by, I was about to say crucifying somebody, but I guess it's not the focus. By. This is something that is a horrible corruption of the soul, I want you to know. Not only because he's saving himself at somebody else's expense. Just the whole idea that I can plant a hidden microphone, a wire on myself, and then tell the person the same thing I did before. And I myself am a big Baal Avla. And to save myself and to get less jail time or whatever it is, to get the protection of the government, for me, to take a person and drag him into the mud, below Yoidim, that he doesn't have the slightest idea that this is happening, so you'll say, well, he shouldn't have done it anyhow, because what he did was wrong. So what? So he's entitled? Das Zokta Vilna Goy. You cannot do that, because that is a horrible corruption of the personality. It's a Midas HaSheker of the worst kind, and you have no right to use it, even in the system of justice, for a Toelis that might be good. Bir HaGra in the next pasuk. Once we're in this Gra, I wanted just to go to the next pasuk. You look on the top of the page one. The next pasuk is Al Toriv Im Adam Chinam Im Loi Gemol Chara. Why are you quarreling with somebody for no good reason when he didn't do you any harm? So L'cha'ir, it's a very pushed pasuk. I mean, don't start up with somebody, especially if he didn't cause you any harm. Zok the Goyin. So the Vilna Goyin says here that, as he does very often, that what appears to be one point is actually two points. And in each one of the points, there's a component that's missing. And that's why you shouldn't do it. What's the first one? The other person did you a ra. He did you a ra. It says in the pasuk beferush im loy gemol chara, because according to the gra, im loy gemol chara is a second half. It's like there's a colon or a semicolon between the two, and a snachta in there. And im loy gemol chara is a new point. So the first point is gemol chara. So what's wrong? So the answer is because you're not going to tuuf. This is what we call basically nakam. A person can sometimes accomplish something. You can accomplish something. But there are times that people do things and they know in advance that they will not accomplish anything. But they want to make the other fellow suffer. Because they want to hurt him in the same manner that they were hurt. So they want to return the taiva. They want to return the kindness and smash him, even though it's not going to make him better, and even though the consequences are dire for him and for his family, of Yichab and Abgeton. That's the first one. What about the second one? The second one is, let's say that you could accomplish something, but he didn't do that much to you. What did he do to you? So the second part is what we assume the whole pasuk is. But the Vilna Gaon split the pasuk into two halakim. Now, I just wanted to point out, in this context, that we mentioned that Rashi says Harisha is kipshutai because it's a plan and a scheme. Just like when you farm, you first plow the field, but you don't plow it for no reason. Otherwise, you're destroying your own field. What is plowing? It's a destruction. The Teretz is because you intend to plant. It's in a destruction now for the purpose of a construction later. So it's a scheme that's the opposite of what you will do. That's the plan here. He's trying to make the person feel good and friendly, and he's jovial and he's nice, and he does him taivis only to make him unsuspecting so that he can hang him in the end. Yeah? If any of you saw the Baal HaTurim before, fine. If you haven't seen the Baal HaTurim, you should jump. You should mamish jump. The Baal HaTurim is on a very famous pasuk. Loisachroish b'shar v'chamor yachdov. Right? Zok the Baal HaTurim azoy. There are two places where it says sachroish in Tanakh. Loisachroish b'shar v'chamor yachdov, and yours truly, our pasuk. The pasuk that says al tachroish al reyacha ra v'hu yoshev lo vetach itach. What is the connection of these two psukim? So, if I were Rashi, I would say the connection is that it's a lashon of Harisha, planning in order to nail him in the end. Harisha for Zriya. Zokta balaturim. Leshachrish v'shor v'chamor al tachrish al reyacha ra. Zehu shemefarish tam shloi lachrish b'shor v'chamor. Listen to this. Listen to a sensitivity of the Torah according to the Baal HaTurim. Why not? Lefisha hashor malageira. When the shor is working, he has eaten already in the morning. So did the chamor. The chamor had his bag of oats. But the shor is malageira. It looks to the chamor like the shor is eating now because he's chewing his cud. So the chamor gets upset and jealous and frustrated that the shor has food and he doesn't have. Ihelt a meisa. So the chnoi revoyim. Shaloi lachrish v'shor v'chamor lefi shashor maligera v'chamor eina maligera. Ukishayira hashor maligera yiyasobr shuoichel umitztair. V'zehu al tachrish al reyach ra shegoyrim lachamor shechorish al reyehu ra. But the maskana of the Baal HaTurim is even more shocking. The avla is that you cause the chamor to have bad thoughts which are erroneous. Sipilei ploy. First of all, the whole idea that I'm causing the chamor to have thoughts. No, but he doesn't say that he's causing pain. That's the remarkable thing. He should have said, I'm causing the chamor to suffer. He's thinking bad thoughts about his shor, his buddy the shor. He's chorish on the shor thoughts. How did he get that chayirah? He's a behemah, but that behemah, the shor, what a behemah he is. How did he get that food and I don't have any food? Yeah, so the whole thing is pillay ploy. But as we see many, many times, whenever you have these mishalim from the animals, what's going on in the animal's mind? Veis kainanisht. In the sensitivities that we project onto the animals, these are lessons for ourselves. But the shor v'chamor yachdov says, don't put a person in a predicament where he will have erroneous thoughts about somebody and think ill of him for no legitimate reason. Don't bring a person into a matzav to be a choshet b'ksheir. Now I have to tell you a very interesting thing. Someone came to me this morning and he asked me, what's the inyan of Marisai? So I told him that the basic yesod of Maris Ayin is that Chazal understood that as much as we are asked to be on the higher plane and to think lofty thoughts and always to be dan lekav zchus and always to be positive about everybody, but they also took human nature into account. The gross, base human nature that doesn't see good and is jealous and is frustrated and looks to undermine, because that is the basic instinct that we have. We always want to become better than the other person. Sometimes you have a tzaddik who says, so I'll improve myself and then I'll be better. And then sometimes you have another person, if I knock the other person down, then memela I'll be higher than him and better than him and better off than him. So this conflict between the ideals and the goals and the yearnings and the aspirations of a ben Torah, of a tzaddik, of a yirei shamayim, inside each person, is always fighting with the nether instincts of the person to do things that we're really ashamed and embarrassed about. But they are just as real. And therefore Chazal said, listen, you have to be down the other person, l'katzkos, but you have to protect the reputation of the Ribbono Shel Olam and not assume that the other person will be dan lekatzchus. And therefore, if you do something that on surface appearances alone, because be'etzem it's not really true that you did an aveira, it's not really true that you did something evil, but it looks that way. So he has the responsibility of being dan lekatzchus, and he should just walk right by. But he won't. He may not. Because that's his instinct. And therefore I have to take the reality of his instinct into account and worry that he'll be choshed me and I will debase as a result of total mistake on his part. But inadvertently, b'shoyge ke'ilu, I will debase the reputation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is it debasing the reputation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu if I do an Aveira? If he thinks I'm doing an Aveira? Because even if I'm not, but he thinks so, because he's choshed me. Maris Ayin. The answer is because when a person does an Aveira, he's a traitor to the king. And if you have a traitor to the king, the covet of the king goes down. And that's why the Rambam in the fifth parak of Yesodei Torah, when he speaks about all the different kinds of Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem, says that if a person does an Aveira b'shot nefesh, he's Mechal Shem Shemaim. If he does it in front of 10 people, he's Mechal Shem Shemaim b'far Hesya. Why does any Aveira with b'mezid create Chil Hashem? The answer, Mela, if you're a Goslin and the world finds out about you, Mela, I understand. You wear a big yarmulke and you're a thief and you're a cheat. I understand. We're the reputation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're dishonest people. They walk around the whole day praying to God for their well being, and then they're dishonest and treacherous wherever they go. Make sure to keep your hand in your pocket and watch your wallet because there's a Jew walking by. So, Avada, that's a tremendous Chil Hashem, but the Rambam says, any Aveira, even Odom Lamokai, because there's a rebelliousness against Hashem that's a traitor. A traitor in the camp of the king is a simon of a weakening of the king's reputation. This is the way it is. And therefore, even if it's not true, you have to prevent people from coming to that conclusion erroneously or not, makes no difference. When they come to that conclusion, there's an undermining of Hashem's reputation. So the whole nekuda here is that you're not allowed to create a matzav where someone will become a choshed b'ksheir. That's the implication of this balaturim. But it's an astonishing thing. I don't know, did you ever see it before? It's an amazing balaturim. Now, there's one more thing that I wanted to do with you before we go weiter. The Shloah HaKadosh, in conjunction with the Charedim, as it were, he quotes the Charedim a lot, has a pshat in a Lekai Nitzor L'Shoini Meirah that we say at the end of the Shmona Esrei, and which I wanted very much to share with you, because it's consistent with what we are learning. And in fact, he brings our pasuk as well, if I'm not mistaken. So he says like this. By the way, the Shalah is not a commentary on the Gemara. He divided his Sfarim into sections, and he named those sections with the names of Masechtas. Masechas Yuma, Masechas Shavuos, and so on. And it has to do with, in Yonei Tshuva, so he calls it Masechas Yuma. But it's not a pirush on Masechas Yuma. So in Ois Samach Gimel, he writes like this. Rabbi Seinu b'seif tefila Seinu sidru lanu alakai nitzor l'shoini meira. Why? Why is this something? We finished the Shemona Esrei. Understand why Hashem's fasai tiftach. But what's at the end? Alakai nitzor l'shoini meira. Lefisha avoin l'shon hara hu avoin plili. The terrible aveira. For amru she'ein adam nitzol me'avoin avak l'shon hara b'chol yoyim. He has to be like a ferocious lion, constantly aware and constantly anticipating the possibility of falling into the trap of Lashon Hara, of Avak Lashon Hara. So he says, So he says, the first and simplest pshat is that since the aveir of Lashon Hara is so terrible and so common and so easy to fall prey to, that that's why we have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically for it, and at the end of our Shemona Esrei, we spell it out. However, Kushta de Milsa, he writes, the tefila zu sheyatzilenu Hashem mehayetzer hara. El shayetzer hara afal pishanira she'echad hu, hu nechlak lishnayim. He now gives us a whole shtickle Torah about the Yetzer Hara. He says, even though it appears he's one, but really there are two Yetzer Haras. There are two kinds of Yetzer Hara. There's the male Yetzer Hara, and there's the feminine Yetzer Hara. The feminine mode of the Yetzer Hara. Kede Isa b'zoya b'kama duchte, ha-zochar yoytzroi kroi ra, shenema ki Yetzer leva odom ra min urav, v'hande keiva, Balas mirmois v'tachbulois, oleo amar shloima hamelech olav ashalim. In the later perek in Mishlei Zayin, lishmorcha meisha zora minochriya amareha hechlika. In other words, he says that the yetzer hara comes in two modes. One is with a frontal attack. That's the midas hazochar. The yetzer hara says, "I want you to do averus." The other one is the sweet talker. The smoothie, the one who subtly manages to outmaneuver you and to outwit you. That's another midah of the Yetzer Hara. Sometimes when you know that you can't get him directly because he's prepared, you do an ambush. That's the midas nukva, he says. And that's lishamroch mi'isha zara. V'al shneyem anu oimrim, eloikai nitzar lishoini meira usfasai midaber mirma. Kishneim yachtav heim hechtiu es chava, umesayim ulemakalai nafshi sidoim lefisha oven hamachloikes gadol. V'nafshi keofel akol tia rotzaloima shekolkach nargil b'midas hasavlonus, ad sheyielonu ahergel teva, sheniye keofer shedoshin oisoy ve'enoy margish. It's a peladika level. It's a level that is requires tremendous amount of repetition and constancy. Nafshi ke'ofa la'kol tiyeh. You know, there was once a gadol who reacted to something, and someone asked him, "What about what you always ask for? Nafshi ke'ofa la'kol tiyeh."
3 times a day.
So he said, "I'll tell you the answer." He says, "Ofar, you can fashion things with ofar, right? That's nafshi ke'ofa la'kol tiyeh. Use me and do with me whatever you want." As any benefit that you could have from it. But that you should stam trample on me, das nicht. That's not nafshika offer. That's not included in nafshika offer. From the Shaloh HaKadosh, it's mashma, that the insight is that even if you trample on me, I don't react. This goes into Ne'elovim Ve'inam Oyovim, Shemim Cherpasim Ve'inam Meshivim, Oysin Me'ava Usmeichim Be'isurim. They turn the avla into a positive thing, actually. Because since I am hurt, that pain, that suffering from the human who has attacked me, who has insulted me, and whatever it is, that I am turning into a positive force. How do you deflect it into a positive force? By saying, let my yisurim be a kapar. And since, as I said the other day, Yisurim Amarkin Avanoisel Shalodim, but the Rebbeinu Shalom is very kind, and he takes 5 cents on the dollar, remember? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he's not really going to hurt you. There's nothing he can do. Abba Lamaisa, you were upset. I will accept that being upset as Yisur. I will accept it as Yisur. A long, long time ago, if you remember, I told over a Maisa that one of my Yedidim, who lived out of town, came to visit his parents, Kibbutz Ava, eh? So I met him. He used to come to daven the shul on East 17th when the shul was there, Leil Shabbos. So I met him, and he starts to cry. He's mamish crying. So I'm so wondering, vel veis vasat pasir? Well, who knows what happened? So he says, I just learned the Ramban in Torah Sa'adam, and I'm completely shot. Which Ramban is he talking about? So the Ramban there, as I mentioned to you, quotes the Gemara in Erchin. The Gemara asks, how far does Yisurim go on the low end? What is considered Yisurim that it is still called Yisurim even though there's hardly any damage at all, any pain at all? So the Gemara says, you put your hand in your pocket, expecting to take out a quarter, which you need, whatever you need a quarter for, and instead, you took out a smaller coin. The quarter is still in your pocket, mind you. You just have to put your hand in one more time. So what is that? That's nothing. The Gemara still says that's called Yisur. So he tells me that these kind of things happen to him all the time. And whatever Averis he had, he felt since Chazal say Yisurim Amarkim Aveinois of Shaladam.
That's it.
And he has all of these things. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his kindness, instead of 5 cents on the dollar, it's 1 penny on the dollar. But it's Yisurim. And that's why? Because the Gemara says this is the lower limit ad heikon tachlis shel Yisur. And he was walking around very tzefriden, because these things happen all the time. They're not particularly harmful or painful. They're just nuisances. And they give you the tremendous plus, the tremendous benefit that erases Averis. It just keeps wiping out Averis, like the delete on the computer. No, what did the Ramban have to do with it? Why is he crying that? Because the Ramban disagrees with this pshat completely. The Ramban says, listen, Yisurim are Yisurim. And these are not Yisurim. It's not a penny on the dollar. It's nothing. So from these Yisurim, you're not going to have a kapara savonis. As they said the Ramban. How does he explain the whole Gemara? The Gemara seems to be saying that. And there are Sfarim and Gedolim that feel that way, but not the Ramban. He says, that Gemara is talking about something else altogether. That Gemara says as follows. If you have total tranquility in this world for 30 days, ironically, it's a simon that you're a Rasha. A big Rasha. A Rasha Gomer. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you all of your rewards, whatever you might have done good, in this world. Because nobody has total tranquility. If you have total tranquility, it's a simon of a special reward in Olam Hazeh that is only given to Rishonim Gmurim. So that they shouldn't have Olam Haba. So if Chas V'Sholom, 30 days go by, and you don't have the slightest inconvenience, you have mamish, everything is perfect. None of us have to worry, believe me. Everything is perfect. Then you know you're in trouble. So the Gemara asks, says the Ramban, and what is called not perfect? Even if it's necessary to put your hand in your pocket one more time, that's already nish perfect. You don't have to worry. It's got to be really perfect that not even these kind of things happen for 30 days, then you have to. So the Ramban says, if it's a question of perfection versus imperfection, then these inconveniences play a role. Yesurim, memarkim, avoynoiso shalodom. For that you need, says the Ramban. Unfortunately, that's why he was crying. All his life he assumed otherwise, now he sees a Ramban that says a different pshat. Those are not called Yisurim to be Mamarkin of the Nois of Shaladim. However, even the Ramban will be maskil. That when a person is oisgezittled, or somebody's mevazeh him in public, which is ki'ilu shayfech domin, or he is undermined by a partner who did things behind his back, or somebody, some kid when he's in school, said something nasty and rounded up all the chevra in the class against him, or somebody's bullying him, or anything like that. Those are yisurim. If yisurim sometimes because a person feels mamish dichducha shel nefesh, and sometimes the person just feels uncomfortable, but it's not the same as putting your hand in your pocket. That's a different thing entirely. And therefore, See, when you put your hand in your pocket, there's no resentment. The worst that can happen is that, oh, I'm such an idiot. That's the worst that could happen. Or what a day I'm having. But when there's somebody, there's a human being on the other end, that's not pashut. So this is Yisurin Memarkim Avinoy Soshalodim. And since everybody who understands, realizes that no matter what, as I said the other day, it's not the real, real Yisurin, Rachmanu Litzlan, Bar Minan, we shouldn't know of any of it. So really Hashem is providing you with a bonus. When I see somebody doing something for me, to me, at me, but really I can understand and translate it into a positive, all my frustration and anger goes away in a minute. Imagine if somehow there was a trigger that when that person is mevazeh me, my pockets start filling with gold. Be my guest. I love it. It's wonderful. That's the way v'nafshika v'la kol tia should be perceived, says the Shluha Kodesh. He doesn't say it in with my words, but that's what he says. The avoda is that he's einoy margish. And then...
So this person's crying over this is Yisurim.
What do you say?
This person's crying over this Ramban is Yisurim.
Oh, he's crying itself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it?
Probably. But l'fisha oven bitul Torah, then he writes... Let's continue. Lefisha avam bitul Torah keneged kulam on a mispalim sach libi b'sara secha. Or lefisha rifyan ayadayim b'mitzvahs. I just want to continue because he's finishing up the alakai nitzar. Lefisha rifyan ayadayim b'mitzvahs grama b'nizakin lakach on a mispalim b'achrei mitzvah secha tirdef nafshi. What does he mean by grama b'nizakin? He says that if you stop doing mitzvahs because the person is lazy, so he doesn't have the opportunities to do mitzvahs are plenty, and he doesn't have the get up and go to follow them, it's mamish like a mazik. V'chol akomim olay roa k'mashmoy v'gam b'chlal kol b'nei odom haboyim l'achdi'eni v'ligrem li she'ered b'gehenim k'de amru rabbi seino ein roa el gehenim k'de frishis la'el al posuk al torivim odom chinom im loy gemol charoa v'k'shem she'tzorich odom l'spal al atzmoy k'ach tzorich l'spal al zaroi she'yu yirei shamayim. How could they all be mishamish b'kuna gdoila and not one of them dies? It's a different story. It's a remarkable thing that he says here. You'd think that each bracha deserves its own attention and its own kavana, and all brachas have to have equal kavana. Maybe Shema Kaleinu should be more because it includes everything. But he says the most kavana that you have to have is in the bracha of Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha. Hashiveinu b'tzachzireinu b'tshuva shleima lefanecha. That Moshe Rabbeinu is mevakish rachmah al poishi Yisrael. La poishim yafgia. Yafgia is from the Lushan. Pigubi, right? Ein pigia ela tefila. That he davened for the poishim as well. She used to feed him with the food itself. Abachilki used to give him money. Remember? Yeah. So he goes through a whole arichus, and I didn't want to leave any part of it out because each part has its own critical and essential value. Now going back to the Rabbeinu Yoina, Al Tachrish Al Reach Ra Im Hitzik Lucha Chaverecha Al Tachrish Al Avra Bodenu Yoshev Levetach Itach. even though he's causing you suffering, as we said before, ki zois mida b'chusam mi'oid v'derech sheker. Ach toydiyeyu t'chilo kisin osay amashe heralach, t'chilo yiftach libo yalecho. You're supposed to tell the person that you have something in your heart against him, and that he shouldn't be trusting in you because we're not friends anymore. And Mimela, once you start talking, the possibility and the potential of good people, at least, is that you'll come to some resolution. You know very well that the Iser of Loisisna Sachicha Bilvavecha is because it's in the heart. And this is counterintuitive on some level. Because people say, what's the difference how you feel about me if I don't know about it? When you yell at me and you scream at me and you criticize me, that's when I'll get upset. The Torah says, Punkfaket, because the possibility of reconciliation only exists when the other person tells you what's on his mind. So if you're actually yelling and screaming at the person, you're not over and leisisna sachicha bilvavecha. Very remarkable nekuda. In the Gemara Maseches Yevamos, there is a halacha that's brought down not only by the Gemara, it's brought down by the Shulchan Aruch, by the Rambam first, and then the Shulchan Aruch, and there's a whole discussion about it. Tana Rebbe Lezer ben Yankiv, Oimer, Rebbe Lezer ben Yankiv said, Lo yisa adam ishtoi v'daitoi legarsha, shum shenema al tachrish al reyach haroa, fu yoshev lo vetach itoch. It's a very remarkable Sefer Chassidim. I think it's Simon Shin Peites. The Sefer Chassidim is remarkable because it doesn't quote what we expected him to quote. He says there that a person cannot marry somebody unless he sees her first. This, of course, is a Gemara at the beginning of Perikah Ish Mikadesh. Anyone that learned that Perikah in Kedusha knows. Ish Mikadesh Boyu B'Shluchai. So, of course, Shluchai works, but L'chatchila, you shouldn't do it. Why? Because Osu L'kadesh Esu Isha Ad Shirena, Shema Tisgana Olav. He'll see her, and for the first time after he's married to her, and she will not be pleasant in his eyes. She won't be appealing to him. V'hatoyra amra v'haftalaracha kamaycha. So the Sefer Chassidim, he has this point, and he quotes al tachrish al reyach hara. It's an astonishing thing. What happened to v'haftalaracha kamaycha? Here the Gemara is talking about something else. He really intends to divorce her. So why did he marry her? People marry people for all kinds of reasons. For money, for citizenship, velveis what. But meanwhile, he has to convince her that it's for real. You know, she's not interested to marry him for ulterior purposes. This isn't a scheme. She thinks he's for real. But he's scheming, and all the while he intends, the minute I get what I need and what I want, goodbye and good luck. So that's al tachrish al reyacha. But here we're talking about something else. And then he adds, so how come Yitzchak married Rivka, and the Kedushin was made by the Shaliach, and in fact he didn't see her? So he answers, because there was no possibility, because he had to marry somebody from Aram Narayim, right? And he was not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. So when there's no Breira, there's no Breira. You could say, of course, other things as well. This was his wife. This was his destiny. This was the address. That's different. But in Stam, a person gets married, is v'atayra omra v'haftol reyacha kamaycha. The Rambam, by the way, that says ohavo kegufo, so people ask, what's the chiddush of that? Of course he has to love her kegufo, because it says v'haftol reyacha kamaycha. So the answer is also, it's very easy to love somebody from a distance, and to love somebody once in a while, and it's very hard to love somebody that's always with you.
Doesn't this halacha begin with Yaakov Avinu? So you said this before. The idea that you have to see your wife because he was tricked. Isn't it coming?
No, it's not because you're tricked. It's simply because.
Isn't that a source because of Yaakov Avinu?
No. No. The Gemara says that the reason is because if he doesn't like her, the Torah says v'haftal, you're violating v'haftal iracha kamaycha. That's all. There's no. So the kasha is on Yitzchak too. Kasha would be in Avram if he didn't see her. But there's one case where he didn't see her for sure, which is the case of Yitzchak. So that's what he's asking. But it's interesting that he doesn't bring in that place, to the best of my recollection, the pasuk v'ahavta l'racha kamecha. But this halacha, there's another gemara. The gemara Maseches Gittin, that's right under the gemara in Yevamos. Amar Rav Meshar Shiel Rava, im liboy legarsha v'yoshevis tachtov v'mishamashtoy mahu. Kari alei al tachrish al riacha rovu yoshev levetach itov. So the question is, what's the difference between the gemara in Yevamos and the gemara in Gittin? So the answer, of course, is that we're talking about before you married or after you got married. The Gemara in Gittin is talking about he got married, and when he got married, he intended to live with her forever, maybe. But things turned sour. And he's scheming to figure out the proper time and the proper opportunity to get rid of her, to divorce her. But she's not aware of it. So he's not allowed to let her continue with the responsibilities that a wife has to her husband if his intention is to send her away. And it's not because of lo sisna sachicha bilvavecha. You know why? Because he doesn't hate her. He doesn't hate her.
He just may have found someone else.
So there's a very interesting tshuva by the Ben Ish Chai. He writes the question and gives an answer. And, you know, the tshuvas are called Torah Lishma. And he signs his name with a pseudonym, Yecheskel Kachali. Yecheskel Kachali is Yechazek Keil Koyach Li. But that's the Ben Ish Chai.
What's in the sefer?
Torah Lishma. Shailut Tshuvas Torah Lishma. So he writes there the following. A person is marries somebody, and he davens that she should die. So, you know, is he over any averis? So, why does he want her to die? Because he wants the Yerusha.
What's hard to understand?
No, so there's no Gemara that discusses, what's hard to understand that such a person should have such machshavas? All right. I'll tell you something, that's not so bad. What's bad is when a wife is and a husband have a pretty decent relationship and there are no money issues and no other issues, but it's a bad day. And somehow she said something and he said something and then she said more and he said more and he slams the door and he says, I wish he was dead. That's Maisim B'chol Yoyim. That's terrible. In this particular story, the question was, are you violating any halacha? Because the halacha says, v'dayta l'garsha. Says, oh, that's v'dayta l'garsha. He doesn't intend to divorce her. It's interesting. What I imagine what he means is he's leaving it up to Shamayim, because he's not planning to poison her, you know. He just wishes it. So that's not dayta l'garsha. Dayta l'garsha, it's like almost like the marriage, since it's biyotcha, so the beginning of the gerushin is taking place. So you're not allowed to do that. But the truth is, the Gemara's quotation of the pasuk dovetails with all the things that we were saying before. You are being merameh her, because she doesn't know anything about it. And in fact, the mefarshim discuss, what happens if he tells her? He tells her that things are not going well, and that's my plan. So that's already not fulfilling the requirements of this Aveira, because it's not al tachrosh al riacha ro for who yoshev lavetach itoch.
What's the answer to the problem? What's the answer?
The answer to what, Shaila?
The Shaila, if it's mutter to be mispalo?
No, he doesn't ask if it's mutter to be mispalo. He wants to know if he can still live with her.
Uh-huh.
Oh. So he says yes. He's asking me, is it a right thing to do? You don't need the Ben Ish Chai for that. Yeah. I'm just going to paraphrase certain points, but I would like very much if you would look at the Alshich Be'iyun yourselves. The Alshich HaKadosh. The Alshich says that this whole discussion of Mishlei, starting with Al Timna Toiv Miba'olav, is talking about financial relationships, and specifically about a malva and a loiva. And it's very remarkable on many levels, including to sense the subtle difference between the words of the Alshech HaKadosh and the words of the Arachayim HaKadosh in conjunction with the Pasuk Im Kesef Talve Es Ami Es Ha'oni Imach. What does it mean, Es Ha'oni Imach? So the Arachayim HaKadosh that I've mentioned quite a number of times in the past in different shiurim, he says that the Ani's money is in your pocket, as if you're the gizbar or the teller of the bank. Because since HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to punish the Ani that he shouldn't have the money b'derech kavod, that Ani has to depend upon others to give him what is rightfully his. And therefore, don't think that you're giving away your own, says the Arachayim. You're really giving to the Ani what belongs to him. And that explains why people can be fabulously wealthy when there's absolutely no use to them for all that extra money. The answer is you're supposed to give it away to Aniyim, and it's really their money, and that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu strikes the balance. Everybody should have, universally. But some people have to get it from the wealthy. The Arachayim HaKadosh says this pshat. The Alshich does not say this pshat. If you'll take a look at the Alshich on the second paragraph, Imkein HaToiv Ahu Asher Yase Lo HaAshir Ke'ilu Mishel HaAnihu Val Hakol BaHalva Oila Al Kulam U'Kamosh Bi'arnu Eitzel Im Kesef Talve Es Ami Es HaAni Imach Kloimar Im Hu Ani Hu Lihiyosei Imach Kedeshe Tiske Ata Al Yodai U'Kimavur Etzleinu Yofa Al Posuk V'Chei Achicha Imach V'Zehu Imach. He learns that Es HaAni Imach means the Rebbeinu Shlolem is so nice to the usher, he gives him a lot of money. But you know what else HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him? He gives them opportunities for tzedakah. And that is an unbelievable gift. But you can't do tzedakah or even lend money in a tzedakah way unless the ani is around. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made aniyim for the sake of the ashirim to provide them with opportunities. Turnus Rufus HaRosha asks in the Gemara Baba Basra Daf Yudam and Aleph, Im HaKadosh Baruch Hu oyev es ha'aniyim b'pnei ma'enam mefarneson. And he answered to give schar to the ashirim who provide for them. This is his taich, the Alshach's taich, as ani imach. Hashem provided the usher with aniyim to give them opportunities. So of course, if they have the opportunity and they don't seize it, they're the tipshim gemurim. So that's what he says on this whole pasuk. So then he goes into an arichus dvarim, which you'll look at on your own. But he says the following. People sometimes have obligations as lenders, if they are wealthy and they have the opportunity to lend, to do the mitzvah. But people also have very serious obligations as borrowers. And that is not to mislead the lender. So a person who knows in advance that he has no intention or capacity of paying back, and he doesn't tell this to the person who's lending it to him, is over on this pasuk that we are learning today, Al Takhrish Al Reach Hara, right? And his lave is Baiteach in you. And one thing is very fascinating. When there is a mitzvah to lend the ani, it's a very remarkable mitzvah. You know why? Because the pasuk says, Al Tiftachu B'Nedivim B'Ven Odom She'in Lo Yitzeshua. Correct? Well, shouldn't there be a pasuk, Al Tiftachu B'Aniim B'Ven Odom She'in Lo Kesef? Think about it for a moment. The Ani is coming to the Ashi. So the Ashi asks, why should I give you the money? You want a matana or you want a loan? He says, no, I'm not asking for a matana. I plan to pay you back. So the question is, with what? With what? So the idea of lending in the eyes or in the mindset of the Ani could very well be, he doesn't need it, and I don't have the wherewithal to pay it back, but we're going to write a shtar anyhow, and we'll call it a halva, and I will tell him that I will pay it back, but the score is what it is. I'm not paying him back. So that's a terrible avera. And of course, al achas kama v'kama, if the plan is to pay you back. So there's a maisa shahoya, where a person desperately needed money for a business deal, and he didn't have anybody to go to but his good friend. So he came to his good friend, and the good friend said, listen, I have some money lying around, a nest egg that I desperately need, and it's the only money that I have. I can lend it to you for a month, but that's it. I must have the money back. So he said to him, in a month's time, you're guaranteed to have your money back. What about collateral? Didn't even bring up the topic. Why not? He's his best friend. After the month is up, nothing. Comes back and he asks him, where's the money? He doesn't have. What is that exactly? The Teretz is, the person's not diabolical exactly. He thought that, why is he borrowing the money? Because he needs to shore up his business, which is going down the tubes. If he doesn't borrow the money, the business will definitely fail. But the mindset, the need to borrow is so strong, the desire not to sink is so strong, that he talks into himself, Devarim b'teilim u'mevutalim, namely, that when he does get the money, and he pumps it into the business will succeed. So somebody has that mindset, when he promises to return the money, in his mind, because it's so fakishift, because of the desperate need to get the money, he has convinced himself so powerfully that it becomes a reality. And therefore there is no suffix in his mind that he's going to pay the money back. And when the time comes, of course, the reason he doesn't pay him back is not because he planned originally not to pay him. It's because he doesn't have it. And why doesn't he have it? Because the business is a sinkhole. And instead of rising back to where it should have been in his mind, in his imagination, not only does he not have that, but he lost that money too. Because it's just a bar she'ein lahem sof. Because the business economy should have been turning around months already. And every day there's a new article in the Wall Street Journal that it's coming to an end. And what he doesn't realize is that what he means is that you're coming to an end. But the business economy is getting better. It's getting better. It's just over the horizon. It's just getting better tomorrow. So in Hanami, 3 years later, it'll get better. Maybe 5 years later, it'll get better. But by him, the better is Machar. So how do you evaluate something like that? It's a very fascinating problem. What is the moral offensiveness of that sort of thing? So I think the answer is very simply. Every time a person borrows money from somebody who really is doing you a tremendous taiva but has no assets, and you know that he doesn't have assets, that money is kodesh kodashim. The only way a person would be allowed to borrow that money is if he had collateral, and the collateral was given. Or where there's an agreement between them that if the money goes down the drain, he's meichel de chof. Which of course won't happen, because the person says, I need the money very desperately. What happens in the end is that the person borrows, does not return the money, and did not really have the right to imagine that he will. Because what he's doing is he's co-opting the malva, his friend, into his gambling instincts. And his friend is not a gambler. And he doesn't throw his money al Karen HaTzvi. So on those conditions, the person who's borrowing the money, inadvertently perhaps, not consciously, is a gazlan. It's not a halvah that went sour. That's the difference between two cases. There's a case where a person really intended to give back, thought he would have the wherewithal to give back, and most people would be maskim to him. That's the chiluk. Something occurred that went shaloi kederach hateva, and he wasn't able to return the money. An emergency came up, or whatever. In those circumstances, the opposite prevails, interestingly enough, in halacha. Namely, that you are not allowed to ask for the money, the malva cannot even cross the street out of fear that by approaching the loiva will assume, not that he's coming to say hello, how are things, and let's have a seder together, but he's coming to collect his money, and he'll get very agitated. And you're not allowed to do that. It's an isa raina. So the question is, what's the difference between the first case and the second case? You know what the answer is? If a halva happens, and it's a real halva, then the burden falls on the malva, because he has to protect the loiva, interestingly enough. But if the halva is not really halva, because the halva never should have happened, then the rules of malva and loiva change. In that particular case, it's really a form of gzela. It's a form of gzela. There's rather very, I can't go into it now, it's anyhow halacha in Yonim, which we're not really dealing with, but there's a Yad HaMelech on the Rambam, where he has a whole shtickel Torah, the difference between schirus, where you kovish schar sachir, you don't pay your worker his wages, and the halacha of not paying back a choyt. And he has a very interesting chiddush, which I'll tell you in 1 second. If you get it, fine. If not, not. He says the obligation of a malve, of a loiva, I mean, to pay back a choyv, begins with when he has the money. So it's like an interesting idea. Why? Because he tainis milva loitzon nitna. So when I give the loiva money, I am the malve, and I give him money, it's almost like I give him a matona al tnai. It's like I gave him money, and I told him, when you will have the money to pay me back, that's when the chiyuv to pay me back will be incurred. Masha'enke baschar socher, who worked for me already, and I owe him money, that debt is not when I have the money to pay back. That debt is already in the work. In other words, my obligation begins instantaneously. So he has a whole shtickel Torah, which he has halacha lemaisa, and he tries to explain the difference in the Rambams because of that. The way the Rambam speaks about halva, and the way the Rambam speaks in Perik Aleph, halacha Aleph of Hilchas Malva Maloiva, and the way the Rambam speaks in Hilchas Schirus, which we mentioned the other day. But that's not for us right now. The Iker is, what did we learn from today? Dav Zayin HaMensh. You have to be honest, you have to be nice. That's Mishlei. And you cannot, even for good reasons, outwit and outsmart somebody and make him feel that you're his best friend when in fact you're trying to undermine him. The Gro in Mishpat, and of course the Maisa with Chiyah and Rav in the Gemara Maseches Yevamos.